Everyone is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington. And once again, as always, I'm super excited for my guest this week. I have Jeanette Mena. She is one of my Project REAP peeps from New York City, and she's also a real estate rep for Starbucks. So really excited to talk to her about just what's going on in New York area, what's going on, just, you know, her career so far in the commercial real estate world. So Jeanette, how are you?
Hi. Hi, Jessica. I'm good. Thank you for having me here all the way from New York.
Yes, ma'am. Of course. So the first thing I want to ask is always, how did you get into real estate? And, you know, how did you get to this point so far?
When I was in college, one of my classmates was a real estate appraiser in the residential area. So I asked him if I could like learn from him, and he took me in as an apprentice. So it was kind of like an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I learned how to do the research for the residential appraisal firm, forms. While I was doing that, I was completing my 4-year degree in corporate finance. While I was studying, I learned discounted cash flow models, internal rate of returns, financial acumen. So when I graduated, I thought that the logical next step would be commercial real estate. So I sent my resume around to commercial real estate appraisal firms, and that was my start in commercial real estate. It's been 8 years and I'm still in commercial real estate.
Wow. So I didn't even know about your appraisal background. And I definitely want to ask a little bit about that, because there's definitely like not that many women in the appraisal business. So how was that for you?
Very good point. I did stand out, you know, being a woman of color in a boutique appraisal shop.
Mm-hmm.
My coworkers were predominantly male and white. A woman, she was the one who referred me to the firm. But there wasn't a lot of mentorship in that field. I had to learn on my own. Like when you're appraisal, you get paid per report.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to learn on my own. And, you know, there was a lack of sponsorship, of corporate sponsorship, and also lack of mentorship. But the body of work itself was very interesting. You learn how to underwrite commercial appraisal mortgages. So you have to think about the value from the lender's perspective, which that experience has helped me tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I learned so many skills. I got to apply my, you know, my corporate finance background. I interviewed developers as part of the job, inspected large luxury condominium buildings. So I taught myself, and eventually, you know, I grew out of the boutique appraisal firm that I started, and I went off to commercial real estate tech. Mm-hmm. So that was more, the tech industry was, in my experience, was more open to diversity of thought. When I got there, diversity was important to me because I lacked it in my previous role.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the questions and one of the determining factors when I was looking to jump ship. And it was a REAP alumni, Eric Andrew, shout out to Eric Andrew, who referred me to the tech company. Right now that tech company is owned by CoStar.
Okay.
And it was a diverse company. We had like a women's initiative event, and we all got together and agreed that us as women in that firm, we were paid fairly. We were paid what we were worth, and we were very proud of that. But all things come to an end, you know, the company got bought out and there were layoffs. So I had to jump ship again. And luckily I was in the right place at the right time. I was at Project REAP when that was happening. So that was good. I've had a tremendous support from leaders in diversity and leaders in commercial real estate.
Cool. Now, I know you were like Mrs. REAP, basically. Like, well, I remember when I was in it, you were like part of the interview team, like during the classes. You were like our, I guess like our class shadow, because you had graduated the year before us. So you were always like actively involved, even in like the career night and all that stuff. So I've had a couple other people that are REAP alumni, but I don't think anybody has kind of given like a rundown of what it is and how it's been so helpful for their career so far. So can you just give us a little bit of just insight into the world of Project REAP and then how it's helped you career-wise?
Okay, so for those who are listening and don't know what Project REAP is, it stands for Real Estate Associate Program. It's an educational platform that provides professional development to underrepresented individuals in commercial real estate. It's been around since 1998. The value of the program is really the education and the network. It's a huge network of supporters like the REAP instructors, the alumni network, and its sponsors. Mm-hmm. So I graduated 2017 actually. So because they, you know, Project REAP helped me out in my career so much, when they asked me if I wanted to join their staff part-time as a local planning chair, the following year, 2018, I decided to do the most. And I was like Miss REAP at that time. But by the time your class came in, I was already burnt out. I was so tired. But luckily I had a co-chair that year, mm-hmm. Desiree Thomas, also yeah. Class of 2017. She helped out that year. Luckily she was there to help me. But I'm glad you had a good experience. You know, I felt bad because unfortunately the industry is still lacking representation. We are so grossly underrepresented. and you know, we have to do more. You know, there should be more, you know, diversity leaders in our field. Yeah, we need more support and more advocacy from our groups.
Absolutely. I mean, I love REAP. Once I got into it and we started doing the classes and everything, and you know, just everybody was so cool. Everybody was so smart. Everybody mm-hmm. was so just plugged in. I was like, this is my tribe. These are my people yes. now. Yeah. So it's so dope. I encourage anybody, any person of color that's interested in real estate and you live in a major city, definitely try to get involved with REAP. I know things are going virtual this past mm-hmm. cohort year, but it's still definitely worthwhile. Like you said, the networking is like invaluable. It's almost like being in a fraternity or sorority because you go to yeah. a different city or like a mm-hmm. national conference or something and you meet other REAP alumni and it's like mm-hmm. an instant like, oh, this is family, let's take care of you. So cool. Yeah. So from REAP, you transitioned and you got involved, you got your job with Starbucks.
Yes. So okay. Starbucks is one of the sponsors, one of the mm-hmm. major supporters. Every year in different cities, a store development manager from the real estate team at Starbucks teaches a real estate course at the Project REAP program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because like I'm the local planning chair, New York City planning chair at Project REAP, and I'm also a real estate rep at New York Metro team, I was also able to like, support Project REAP in different capacities, like when it came to like meeting space, interview space. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely helped me connect with a companies whose values, corporate values, are similar to my own values and the values of the nonprofit that I work for.
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember the presentation by Starbucks. And that's another thing where we got like really high level real estate strategy from yeah. some of the major corporations, you know, in the world. So can you just give us an overview of some of the things that you do now with Starbucks?
Yeah, the good thing about REAP is that the instructors are actual boots on the ground real estate professionals that come in and teach a course. Like we teach a course every year at for store development. My specific role at Starbucks as a real estate rep, I support three store development managers, helping find new sites to add to the pipeline. So it's a whole process to add a store and to build it out. You know, from ordering the site survey to formalizing the budget, coming up with the construction schedules, leasing, like the commitments, like leasing permits, all the way up to store open. It's a whole job. It's a lot of work.
Y'all open a lot of
different companies like Starbucks who have a large portfolio, even with the existing stores, there's a lot of work to do to optimize the existing stores, you know, making decisions like, should we relocate? Should we renew? Should we close? And it all depends on what's going on in the market and how the economy is.
Yeah, and especially in New York, there's like a Starbucks on almost every corner. And I know they started opening Starbucks in some of those gentrified neighborhoods now that they previously didn't have one before. So I'm sure that's been exciting, you know, just opening in new areas. And I know a lot of the locations are trying to convert to a drive-through. So it's a lot of stuff going on. So how has it been like business-wise during these COVID crazy times?
It's been good. You know, I'm from Jamaica, Queens, that was on that roster to be gentrified. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting experience for me to be part of store development where they're adding stores in Jamaica, Queens specifically. You're witnessing that and seeing how a coffee shop can have an impact to the community. Being part of that is very helpful. Drive-thrus are really good opportunities. Now because of COVID, you know, we're thinking about the safety of our customers and our partners. The employees are called partners and our store partners. So drive-thrus having a good amount of drive-thrus in the portfolio has definitely helped us and helped us maintain sales. But we had to think about the safety of customers. You know, how do you hand somebody a cup of coffee during a contagion when you're worried about a contagion?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to, you know, stay true to your core values. Like, it's, you know, a coffee shop's about connections. You know, you want to still connect with the community while, you know, serving your customers who want a cup of coffee. So drive-thrus have been very good in our portfolio, but recently, like, pickup stores, walk-up windows have been the new thing. Like, so converting existing cafes to adjust to the changing rapid needs. That's also part of our role in store development. And so look at our portfolio from a high level and make these changes and adjustments, and adding stores as the, you know, market dynamics have changed. We were talking right before this interview, we were talking about how the mass exodus outside of New York. Yeah, because it's so densely populated. So when you have a pandemic, New York is not where you want to be. That changes, that shifts dynamics. And luckily, I'm with a team of experienced real estate professionals. What I like about Starbucks is you met Nelson. He taught at Project Reap.
Yeah, I love Nelson.
The leaders are, you know, they have years of experience and they love mentoring. You know, the younger generation that wants to learn. So I'm very fortunate to be part of a team that will pivot and adjust and will continue developing and changing to different market dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So I know I want to shift gears because I know you always are always about just increasing diversity. Like you said, it was really important for you to have that diverse team and people that you can relate to and look up to. And I know you're involved not just with REAP, but a lot of other nonprofit organizations in the area that want to increase the diversity in commercial real estate. So can you talk a little bit about your involvement with other initiatives and other groups?
Yeah. I also work for two nonprofits. Since 2016, I've worked for, I served on the board of the Council of Urban Real Estate, CURE. You joined us last year.
Mm-hmm.
We do year-round programming. It's about creating a safe space where minority professionals who are underrepresented in the in the industry can come and have meaningful discussions and elevate their careers. People have gotten jobs from these networking events. They've formed investment groups. So to be part of that, I'm really honored and so thankful to have that opportunity to serve the community in that way. Recently, I've been asked to join the Diversity Advisory Board at the Commercial Observer. Mm-hmm. And what I like that they're doing is they understand that integration is the way to change the landscape. So what a lot of like industry events and conferences do to address the problem of diversity in commercial real estate is they would have like diversity panels. Mm-hmm. And although I appreciate that, I don't think that's the solution. I think a better answer to that would be to ensure that every panel, not just your one diversity panel, but every panel at your conference, every panel at your events, there's representation from all minority groups. You know, there's a balance of women, there's a balance of men, there's a balance of people of color that represent the different minority populations. Mm-hmm. So that's what I like about the Commercial Observer, and I'm thankful to be part of that, is that they're trying to make that a sort of a rule in their programming to be conscious of who they're asking, to be conscious of how their diversity panels are modeled. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, racial discrimination and implicit bias is a thing. Yeah. Gender discrimination, implicit bias is a thing. So if we change how commercial, if we make a conscious effort to change how commercial real estate looks, then maybe these unfortunate incidents like treating someone, not allowing someone to enter a space because simply of how they look, those unfortunate events will stop happening and we'd have more inclusion. Mm-hmm.
I would say that's awesome. And I, you know, like there's been a kind of focus on inclusion and diversity and just systemic racism, you know, in the past couple of months. And with the commercial real estate world, obviously we already know that there's been definitely scarcity of diversity in women and also people of color. So I guess beyond the networking events and the panels and whatnot, what are some ways you think that we can kind of solve this problem in terms of the different firms and different actual boards of these firms and just increasing the number of people that are present of color in the commercial real estate world, period?
It's been a hot topic for some years now, but I think that it's been exacerbated with the tragedy of George Floyd. Company, you know, I like the reaction of the public. Like, oh, I like that you're supporting Black and Brown communities in your social media posts, but how does your board look? Is your board diverse? Is there diversity of thought on your board when it comes to women, women of color, men, men of color? Right now, I'm seeing that a lot of these diversity, like, C-suite positions are being created and companies are actively hiring in that field. So I think that the world is still slowly becoming aware of this and it is changing. But at the same time, it's like, when is it ever going to be enough? But I'm optimistic for a better America. what I think would be a better solution, you know, on top of, you know, diverse panels that, you know, highlight and give a platform to market leaders, is hiring decisions. Managers should try to hire people from diverse backgrounds. Mm-hmm. There isn't a lack of talent in minority communities, and Project REAP is a testament of that. We have such a huge pool of qualified candidates who, without any privilege, have, you know, increased their their wealth, their knowledge in commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. So recently in the news, the CEO of Wells Fargo, Charles Schwab.
Yeah, he said some wild stuff, man. He's gotten so much backlash.
He said it's hard to find the talented minority professionals. And that's just simply not true. You haven't been looking. Mm-hmm. CURE, Council of Urban Real Estate, has been around for 30 years. And it's not hard to find us. Mm-hmm. You just haven't made the effort.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that was pretty wild. And then it's also programs, like I think also it's just, I feel like people in the minority community, they weren't exposed to these commercial real estate. Like most people, unfortunately, like commercial real estate is like a family kind of industry, mm-hmm. especially in New York area. So it's like, if you weren't exposed to that, if you didn't know anybody growing up that was involved in that world, like, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. So I think programs like, have you ever participated in Urban Plan? Like programs like that, where you go into the schools early in high school level, I would say even as early as middle school, and just expose kids in inner city neighborhoods to different things that they not normally exposed to will increase that interest. And then eventually that'll trickle down and just create a bigger pipeline of people of color that want to be in commercial real estate. So I think it just starts at the beginning.
Yeah, sure. And companies have to be willing to look for and hire minorities.
Mm-hmm.
People unconsciously want to hire people that look like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that excludes a whole population that makes up a large amount of the city's residents.
Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, there is this disparity that has to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just a fact, like it's been proven, like having diversity of thought on your board or just on your team, period, increases your bottom line. And that's what all these companies care about at the end of the day. So it's like, once you have those diverse opinions, like it helps you generate more revenue. So it's like a win-win for all involved to just have different opinions and different backgrounds involved in your company. So I agree 100%. So what else is going on with you? What are you, is there anything else that you have coming up? And then also, I guess, what are some of your aspirations for investing in real estate personally?
So two things. Project RAPE 2020, spring 2020 term is going to be virtual this year. ULI, Urban Land Institute, we partnered with ULI. They're providing on-demand training.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're going to couple that with the REAPS model of having instructors give live lectures via Zoom. So yeah, it's a different dynamic with the whole on-demand online coursework. But we're staying true to ourselves, given that the value of Project REAP is in the strength of the network, with REAP instructors continuing to give live educational sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And also alumni coming in for virtual happy hour events. So Project REAP supporters, please keep an eye out for happy hour events. Yeah, it's a different dynamic, but we're adjusting to it. And the second thing is CURE, Council of Urban Real Estate, is having their 30th anniversary gala. This year it's going to be virtual, so there's going to be an online raffles. You'll have a chance to have lunch with market leaders in our network. And it's going to be a really good event end of November, I believe. So watch out for that as well.
Oh yeah, definitely got to participate in that. Love CURE Gala. I mean, it was awesome in person last year. So it should be interesting with this virtual dynamic. And I seen that, I mean, I've gone to a couple of other REAP events that they've done virtually. They've done a good job, like in between the cohorts, of having a lot of like virtual webinars and different sessions with people. And now it's also because they're virtual, they can open up to more people, as far as not everybody has to be located in New York or whatever. Like, they can have somebody that's in Detroit or something come talk to us virtually. So that's been awesome. So they're definitely passing well.
This year is like 135 students have been accepted.
Oh, wow.
It was impossible to have that much in the classroom before.
Yeah, and I know that opens it up for people because, you know, like the classes were twice a week for like 3 hours. So it was great and everything was informative. I love going to class, but it was just, you know, it was an undertaking, especially if you didn't live right in the city. I know some people were coming even from like Philly to come up to the New York classes. So it's definitely easier to just, you know, click on Zoom real quick then to have to travel and then go back and everything back and forth twice a week. So that's exciting for sure. What about you personally? Any aspirations of investing in anything coming soon?
No. I bought my house in 2018. I bought my house. So that was a big win for me.
Definitely.
Being the first person in my family to have a college degree and then buy her own house. So.
That's dope. That's awesome. So only up from here. So that's great. Great. So let me just wrap it up here and go to the last segment, which is the Fabulous Four. It's just four questions that I ask all the guests. So just, you know, whatever comes to mind, go for it. So the first question is, what is your favorite real estate book?
You know, I don't read real estate books.
Or business or finance, entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. Like I've done coursework for CCIM, Urban Land Institute's online course that I've taken before. I was trying to be a commercial real estate appraiser during the beginning of my career, so I had to take tons of classes towards an MAI. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to reading, I read books all the time, just not real estate books. My favorite is Unlearn by Humboldt the Poet. He talks about like having the right mindset and adapting to changing environments. And that's what determines your survival. And I think that's so true.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, definitely that appraiser life is a lot of studying and textbooks and stuff. So I definitely understand that.
It's helped me. It's helped me throughout my career. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't stick to that.
Yeah, but now the information is definitely still helpful, especially you know how to do like discounted cash flow models. Like that's like a skill that's invaluable everywhere. So
100%.
So the question two is, knowing what you know now, what's some advice you may have given to your younger self just starting out in real estate?
I think when I first left college and started my first job, I thought I was going to stay there forever. You hear the sirens?
Yeah.
They're coming from.
That's New York.
Yes, it's New
York. That's New York for you.
I thought I was going to stay in one job forever.
Mm-hmm.
I would remind myself that no matter what you do, as long as you... stay true to who you are, you're gonna be fine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You gotta stay true to self, man. Have some values, because there's unfortunately a lot of shady and unscrupulous people in this world. So just hold true to your morals. Cool. Good advice. So the third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
I feel like since I've done different things in commercial real estate, I was like learning everything. You know, I did underwriting, mm-hmm. did valuations. I did sales when I worked for the tech company. I'm in retail right now. So I think I have like well-rounded. The studying never stops. That's, when you leave college, after you leave college, you're not going to stop studying. I had to learned a lot when I got into retail, mm-hmm. real estate 2 years ago. And I'm still learning about different lease structures. Since I'm part of store development, I had to teach myself construction management, project management to help support the team. Mm-hmm. I also taught myself advanced Excel, which has been so helpful, so useful. So to answer your question, I think that I would learn more. I would continue learning more about financial modeling and Excel. Mm-hmm. Those two go hand in hand in commercial real estate.
Definitely. And those are just tangible skills that you can take to a number of different fields. So even if you decided that you wanted to get out of the retail real estate industry, there's like every like business, every kind of aspect of real estate involves some type of financial modeling. So that's yeah. awesome. All right. Lastly, can you please give a shout out to another woman that's doing some amazing things right now in real estate?
Shout out to Tammy Jones. She's been a panel for one of Cure's webinars, online webinars. And she's such an inspiration, such a strong woman. She has such a, she had such a strong voice when we asked her to join our panel. She's the CEO of Basis Investment Group. And just hearing her story, you know, when she deals with, you know, microaggressions for like deal in her deal makings, meetings, she handles it like a boss. And I like that she doesn't let that take her to a negative place. She acknowledges it, but it doesn't affect her, who she is as a strong female professional. So shout out to Tammy Jones.
Yeah, definitely shout out to her. I've been to a couple of events where she was speaking, and you're right. Like, she definitely has a strong presence. Like, I even see her on LinkedIn kind of going back and forth sometimes with people that are trying to challenge, like we were saying, like the need for more women and more diverse talent within the commercial real estate space. And she's just a pioneer in general as a Black woman that is just has, you know, heavy involvement in commercial real estate finance, and they do deals all around the country. So she is definitely
learn from her. Yeah. She's incredibly passionate. When she speaks, you could hear the fire like in her voice. So
yeah, she's definitely got tough skin, and she's definitely a strong-willed person. You got to be to make it in that world. So definitely shout out to her. That's an awesome, awesome shout out. All right, cool. So how can people, if they want to learn more about you, if they want to get in touch and ask more questions or anything, or learn more about maybe REAP or CURE, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can contact me on LinkedIn. I'm there. You can tag me on LinkedIn. Whoever wants to contact me following this interview, I'll respond.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Anything else? Any last words you want to leave for the listeners out there, or just people that may be interested in getting into commercial real estate? You know, any last words that you want to leave the listeners?
Yeah. Stay strong. Run the course. Never quit. I'm not a quitter. Even if I'm unhappy, I'm not gonna quit. I'm gonna jump ship. So just be strong.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's definitely worthwhile to break into this industry. But yeah, it's a tough world. It takes a lot of learning, like she was saying, a lot of studying, just grinding. Networking is so important, as I always mention on this show, and just having the right mentors. So it all goes hand in hand. So thank you so much, Jeanette. I appreciate it. I miss you guys up in New York. But I'm definitely looking forward to attending some of those virtual events for REAP and CURE, just to reconnect and just check on everybody. So I thank you so much. I really appreciate you for taking the time to do this interview.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Oh, and then before I forget, I got a shout out. The shirt I got on is from my boy, Anthony Walker. Shout out to the Bay. Shout out to San Diego, everybody in Cali. This is his line. It's called Finance Friday. So check him out. So yeah, appreciate it. Thank you again, Jeanette. And again, this is Jessica Washington, and this is another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate Podcast. Until next time.